Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with Ghana football, which has suffered the loss of five top coaches during the past 8 months. For reaction, our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, spoke with Ghana's former international player, Ni Odarte Lamte.
It's sad news. I think these are coaches that me personally have passed through. Under them, I've learned a lot from them. Most of them are like my father. Let me say, Anki Bankofi Special was where I had my calf lances A. He was our instructor, and he passed me out. He was excellent with the work I did. And most of time, too, when I need advice, I really call him, and most of time, he really helped me. His passing away was a big blow for me personally, but I've learned a lot from him for the book that he even wrote.
Last November, Coach Emmanuel Afrani passed away. Unfortunately, he was being transported from Kolebu to Kumasi, where there was an accident. Then he lost his life. What do you talk about this coach?
May he rest in peace. We call him Tontom. That's how we call him. I mean, 1991, he himself and Utofista was our coach when we won the World Cup. Personally, I won a lot because I was best player of the tournament. I won four-time best player, man of the match in any match. And then Coach Afrani will come to you in your room when everybody is sleeping, and he said, and before I even go back, this is the man who spotted me. And through him, I was invited into under 17. I can't remember, there was a match, Cornerstones under 20, Great Olympics under 20. And after the match, he said they should call me, and then he said, they should invite me to under 16. This man has been my mentor since that time. And even after the World Cup, we still communicate. He still advise me. And he give me so much idea to even set up this my academy. And I'm grateful to him.
Let's go to Coach Fred Osamdiodu, who also passed away October 4th, 2016. I think you can talk something about him because their death is so mysterious and very shocking. So what do you say about
it? It's sad. I hope Ghana can replace these coaches. I mean, Sam Dodu, let's say he's like a grandfather to most of us. Only yesterday I was even lying, reading his text message that he sent me that he has received a message from Australia 93. And he wanted me to hear about, so if I heard his message, I should call him. And I did call. That was about 6 years ago or 7 years ago. And I remember Australia 1993, he was our coach. He was like a father, a grandfather. He advised us. He joked with us. He taught us a lot, you know, and then we were able to reach finals in that tournament. So these are great coaches that me personally have learned a lot from. That's why I say it's sad, it's painful. I hope Ghana can replace them.
February 12th, another big coach, Sam Ade, who made a big name when we talk about the Olympic Games. That was Barcelona 92, where Ghana clinched bronze medal. It's very sad, but can you tell us something about Coach Sam Ade?
Yes, this is a man who does not tolerate, you know, nonsense. I mean, he's disciplined. And after training, he's everything for you. But when he's coaching, there's no play. We call him the ho-de-ho. And he's the man who brought this multi-system into our football. And I quite remember when Samadi is doing a selection, It doesn't go number one, number two, number three. It mentions your nicknames. And I quite remember the name that he used to call me is we have African best in our midst. And, you know, this is a man who also gave me so much. When I was setting up this academy, I've learned a lot from him. I asked my advice because I know he was the one who brought, you know, Feyenoord Academy in Ghana. And he taught me a lot. And I've taken it. And it's sad. That's what I said. It's painful. But then anybody that have learned something from these great coaches have not lost something.
Yeah, I think Samadi won the Ecuador 95 under 17 and Barcelona 92 games. What memories do you have between that period when you won the first medal for Africa?
I mean, to me personally, I did not know much about Olympics. And then when we won it, it was later that I got to know the value of Olympics medal. So I think this is a coach that maybe he's supposed to be rewarded before he passed away. Players that have won medal in Olympics games supposed to be respected. That's why the whites respect those who won the Olympics medal for them. And I think what Samadi have done for Ghana football, I don't know. I mean, football, you can never say never. I don't know if any coach can do that for Mother Ghana.
Only last week we heard about Coach Herbert Addo passing away. It was so shocking, and people can't believe it still. The first time I met Coach Herbert Addo was when he was with Ashanti Gold, playing the Champions League, the African session, the final with the Algerian club. That was the first time I started working fully with the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
What do you say about this coach?
Another great gentleman. I mean, funny. The name I will never remember. For Herbert Addo was, we are neighbors, where his father have his land, Oyarefa. And I have my cattle ranges. So sometimes my cattle will go into his farm. And one day he shot one of my cattle. He didn't know. And till day, that cattle, then that's why I call the cattle Coach Addo. You know, and he's such a great man. I mean, he coached me. When I was playing for Konezu at the early age, when Tony Ebua them, and I was very tiny, very young. Since then, I think what he has done for Mother Ghana, coaching Kotoko, House of Folk, and all that, Azakes. And then just recently, when he was coaching Accra House of Folk, he met me. He came here in my office. He went to one of my boys, what that was Kwame Kizito, and we were able to negotiate, and he took that player. And I don't know, this is a man who is humble. You need advice, you call him, he's there for you. And as I said, it's something that I've gathered from this so much. I've gathered from these coaches, Sam Dudu, Afrani, Samadi, and Herbert, and Uncle Ben Kofi. I've learned so much from them that, yes, they've gone, but I know their spirit and what they taught me is still with me. I will never forget them.
Let me switch over to the Black Stars now. You know, the Black Stars coaching situation and the chances of qualifying to the Russia 2018.
Well, for the coaching issue, for what I know now, I think the shortlist is Kwesia Pia and I think Senor, former player of France and then Bayern Munich. And another coach, the coach from Hugo Boss from Cote d'Ivoire. But well, I think for me personally, I think if we give it to Kwesi Appiah, he's been there before, he has played for Ghana before. And for me, when he left, the one who came to replace him, I don't see that the person has overtook him. So if we think we made a mistake and we are going for him again, I think it's a right decision. But qualifying for the World Cup, I think for me personally, I think the way our football is going now, we just have to hold on, give ourselves maybe 2 to 4 years, make sure we correct all our mistakes. Our local league should be polished, pay players well. Not everybody should be going outside just like that. And I'm sure when we are able to do that, I'm sure we'll be able to bounce back in Africa and all over the world again.
Your man, when do you think an African country can lift the World Cup trophy?
It's difficult, but if we are able to do our things well, we should be able to do it. Because I think for close that we have gotten through the, it's quarterfinals, right? And I'm sure if we are able to do our things well, we should be able to pass that quarterfinal, go to semi, and then maybe final. Winning it will be very, very difficult, but if we do, as I said, if we are able to do our things well, why not? Because now we have a lot of Africans in Europe learning. But if you are able to bring that learning, bringing it back into African football, I'm sure, yes, it's difficult, but we should be able to do it in the near future.
That's Ni Odarte Lemte, Ghana's former international football player. And Ni was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Ghana's capital, Accra. Now let's go to Panama City, where Panama will host the U.S. men's national soccer team later Tuesday night in a 2018 World Cup qualifying match. The USA is coming off a resounding 6-0 victory over Honduras 4 days ago in another World Cup qualifier played in San Jose, California. Seattle Sounders striker Clint Dempsey had a hat trick for the USA. In the months leading up to the game against Honduras, the 34-year-old Dempsey wasn't sure if he would ever play soccer again. He was sidelined for 6 months with an irregular heartbeat. Before the big victory over Honduras, USA's head coach, Bruce Arena, talked about his decision to include Dempsey on the team.
Well, I've spoken to Clint starting in December, and at that time, he still hadn't had full clearance from the Seattle medical staff. In January, we talked again. He was cleared to go into preseason, and then he was given the full go and had a full month of February in training camp and played 2 matches in Major League Soccer to start the regular season, and he keeps getting better. We've dealt with his fitness coach, and we see the improvement, and we really feel that on any roster that the U.S. has, if you can include a healthy Clint Dempsey in any kind of manner or form, it's a plus.
Clint Dempsey's performance against Honduras was definitely a plus. With his second international hat trick, Dempsey raised his goal total with the USA to 55, too short of Landon Donovan's career record. In an interview with the Washington Post newspaper, Clint Dempsey talked about the possibility of breaking Landon Donovan's record, saying, and I quote, "If it comes, it comes. If it don't, it don't. I'm going to keep pushing. The most important thing is qualifying for the World Cup. That's more important than me trying to break a record." And speaking of qualifying for the World Cup, Argentina danger man Lionel Messi, well, I think with him out for the next 4 competitive internationals, Argentina's chances of qualifying for Russia 2018 have taken a hit. That's right. World Football's governing body, FIFA, has banned the Barcelona and Argentina superstar from Argentina's next 4 competitive internationals, starting with Tuesday's World Cup qualifying match in Bolivia. FIFA says Messi, in its words, had directed insulting words at an assistant referee during Argentina's 1-0 win over Chile on Friday. After the game in La Paz, FIFA said, and I quote again, "The remainder of the sanction will be served over Argentina's subsequent World Cup qualifying matches." Lionel Messi out of Argentina's next 4 World Cup qualifiers. And I hope to talk with Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter, about the Messi penalty a little later in the program. Well, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled "College Basketball's Final Four Features International Big Men," and I take a look at some of the international players who will be in the spotlight in the semifinals of the National Collegiate Athletic Association's Division I Men's Basketball Championship Tournament. Gonzaga will go against South Carolina in the first semifinal, April 1st, at University of Phoenix Stadium in the western state of Arizona. It's a matchup of schools making their Final Four debuts. Each team features five international players on its roster. The Bulldogs of Gonzaga have players from Canada, Denmark, France, Japan, and Poland. Polish center Zemek Karnowski, 7 feet, 1 inch tall, and 300 pounds, is the biggest of the bunch. The senior has won 136 games during his career at Gonzaga, the most wins for any player in NCAA history, and Karnowski is expected to be a top pick in the 2017 National Basketball Association draft. The bearded Karnowski is also a Gonzaga fan favorite. During the team's 83-59 victory over Xavier March 25th, supporters of the Zags could be seen in the stands in San Jose, California, wearing imitation beards in honor of the big pole Karnowski. Meanwhile, the Gamecocks of South Carolina have players from Australia, Canada, Estonia, Gabon, and Senegal. Gabonese forward Chris Silva, a 6 feet, 9 inch tall sophomore, and the Estonian Maik Kotsar, a 6 feet, 10 inch tall freshman, both played key roles in South Carolina's 77-70 victory March 26th over Florida. Silva scored 13 points and had a game-high 9 rebounds, while Kotsar tallied 12 points. In the second semifinal, April 1st, Oregon will play North Carolina. The Ducks of Oregon are in the Final Four for the first time since 1939, when they won the very first NCAA National Championship Tournament. The Tar Heels of North Carolina are bidding for their sixth national title after losing the 2016 final in heartbreaking fashion to Villanova in Houston, Texas. As for the international makeup of those teams, well, North Carolina has no international players on its roster, but Oregon has five, three from Canada, one from England, and one from Israel. Meanwhile, Oregon's women's team was trounced Monday night by defending national champion Connecticut 90-52 in the NCAA Women's Tournament. It was the 111th win in a row for the powerful Connecticut women, who are now only 2 wins away from a fifth consecutive national title and 12th overall. Nafisa Collier scored a game-high 28 points, and teammate Gabby Williams tallied 25 points for the Huskies of Connecticut, who advanced to the national semifinals for a 10th consecutive year. Next up for top-seeded and undefeated Connecticut is Mississippi State on Friday night in Dallas, Texas. In the other semifinal on Friday night in Dallas, Stanford will play South Carolina, which eliminated Florida State Monday 71-64. The NCAA women's final is April 2nd in Dallas, and the men's final is April 3rd in Glendale, Arizona. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
I had a story on Lionel Messi earlier in the show. I'm wondering if Messi is trending out there, Andrew.
Oh, just a tad, yeah. No, it's a huge trending topic. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of tweets about Messi and FIFA's decision to suspend him. And to say that the fans are incensed is an understatement. They are furious with FIFA putting this in place just hours before this qualifying match. Except, though, if you're a Cristiano Ronaldo fan, you're okay with this decision. You're doing a little happy dance and you're okay with it. But a lot of fans saying it's all politics, pointing to the fact that Neil Taylor of Tottenham broke a player's leg and slid in and broke his leg and only got 3-game suspension for that. A lot of people pointing to that incident, scary incident that happened yesterday. And then a lot of people pointing, too, to Argentina's record without Messi. Very bad record. They're, I believe, have no losses with Messi, but they have, I think, 4 losses two draws and maybe one or even no wins without Messi. So not a good picture for Argentina as they try to qualify.
And right now, I mean, Argentina is almost at every World Cup, but for Russia 2018, kind of in the balance right now in that South America qualifying.
Yeah, right now I think they're in third, and the top four teams go and automatically qualify. So they're right kind of on the bubble there, to use an NCAA term. So we'll see if they can make it.
Has Messi made any comments in regards to the ban, Andrew?
Not that I've seen, but I think his fans are doing a lot of the talking for him. And I imagine that their sentiments are probably similar to his, that it's all politics, that it's unfair, and that they're really disappointed.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, you were talking about the NCAA just a second ago, so let's talk about the women's tournament a little bit. And actually, the women's and the men's together as they go on, we have a couple of interesting pairings that are going on. So, as you mentioned, South Carolina, the women have made it to the Final Four. So have the men. They're the only school this year that has their men's and women's teams in the Final Four. And in fact, it's only the 13th time in NCAA history that a school has both their men's and women's teams in the Final Fours at the same time. Now, a bit of history, trivia question for you. The only Division I team, or the Division I school, I should say, to have their men's and women's teams win the championship in the same year.
I'm guessing the nickname of that team might be the Huskies.
Huskies
of Connecticut.
Yes. They've done it twice, in 2004 and 2014. That the UConn Huskies have won both. So South Carolina hoping for that magic. I think the men's team there as the seventh seed have a long shot. The women, perhaps a pretty good shot to get to the final, but UConn is the odds-on favorite. They have 1 in 10 odds for the UConn women to win, which is, as I looked it up, you bet $10 and you win a dollar. That's how well they're favored there. You don't win a lot of money if you bet on UConn because they're widely expected to win. But another big day we're marking today in women's basketball, it was actually March 28th, 1982, 35 years ago today, was the first ever NCAA Division I women's basketball championship game between Louisiana Tech and Cheney University of Pennsylvania. Louisiana Tech was a powerhouse at the time, and they went on to win that matchup, the first ever. So 35 years later, women's basketball, college basketball, strong as ever, and 111 games later, the UConn women are looking to go to 113 in their fifth national championship.
Incredible. And just a reminder for our VOA basketball fans, the NCAA women's final is Sunday night, April 2nd, in Dallas, Texas. And the men's final will be the following night on April 3rd, Monday night, in Glendale, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix. So a lot of basketball excitement if you're a college basketball fan.
Especially if your team is still in. So that's why the University of South Carolina, they're very excited there. There's a lot of social media activity coming out of there, excitement for the men and women, and hoping that they can do well.
And I think we're seeing more international players now, Andrew. As I mentioned in my blog post, they're coming in from all over the world, Europe, Africa, Australia, Asia, so the game has become more global.
Absolutely, especially since when Oregon first won in 1939, and then 35 years ago when the Women's Division I tournament started. Since then, it's really become a global activity. Everybody seems to be watching March Madness. It's not just a U.S.-centric thing, and I think the international players being included definitely has a part of that.
With about a minute left in the show, Andrew, anything else trending out there?
Yeah, so today is March 28th, so as we write that date in the U.S., it's 3/28. We put the month first. But even if you're elsewhere in the world and you write the date first, it's 28/3. Either way, it's Falcons Day. Now, this is because, of course, the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl this year had a 28-3 lead over the New England Patriots. The Patriots came back, scored 25 points, took it to overtime, and then won. So a lot of Falcon fans bemoaning the fact that today is 3/28, but a lot of Patriot fans loving it. It's a celebration for them that their day, other than the Super Bowl, this is the other day that they're marking.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the 3/28 edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the U.S. Department of the Interior, the DOI, announced a grant to the Kenya Ministry of Environment and the Africa Conservation Center to support Kenya's national wildlife conservation strategy. The grant and seven other grants awarded over the past year provide a total of $1.3 million, or 103 million Kenyan shillings, to support conservation and combat wildlife crime in Kenya and East Africa, and lay the groundwork for sustained collaboration between U.S. government and Kenyan counterparts. Wildlife crime threatens the security, economy, and biodiversity of East Africa, as demand for products like elephant ivory and rhino horn continues to rise, and poaching methods become increasingly sophisticated. International networks for poaching, transit, and sale of illegal wildlife products target wildlife populations across borders, creating a complex problem that transcends national boundaries. Kenya is currently a key source and transit country for illegal wildlife products from Africa. The conservation and sustainable management of wildlife and habitats is crucial to the region's long-term economic growth and development. In support of the U.S. National Strategy for Combating Wildlife Trafficking, USAID is taking action to enhance wildlife management and the enforcement and prosecution of wildlife crime. USAID has partnered with the DOI's International Technical Assistance Program, or DOI-ITAP, on a five-year project that uses DOI's expertise in law enforcement, investigation, and prosecution to create a strong network of regional actors to combat wildlife trafficking throughout East Africa. Since March 2016, USAID and DOI-ITAP have funded work with government agencies responsible for managing wildlife, non-governmental organizations fighting wildlife crime, and civil society groups that inform the public about this serious issue. In addition to the Ministry of Environment grant, projects supported include grants administered by Save the Elephants to support the Elephant Crisis Fund, regional coordinating efforts and enhanced community engagement to counter wildlife crime by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, high-profile events like the Giants Club Summit, public outreach initiatives by Wildlife Direct, security for rhino protection by the Laikipia Wildlife Forum, and organizational planning to protect wildlife at the Kenyan Wildlife Service. As U.S. Ambassador to Kenya Robert Godek noted, "By protecting wildlife and the environment, we can create jobs and build prosperity while preserving Kenya's rich natural heritage."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at tuberculosis, featuring the movie The Lucky Specials, with my guest, South Africa celebrity Oros Mampofu and lead actor of the movie The Lucky Specials, along with other guests. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I am your host Shaka Salee. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 20 million people are suffering from a hunger crisis. An in-depth discussion on the international call for action on the next Straight Talk Africa. At 1830 UTC.